Thanks for joining us to hear today's special presentation from Hope Central. We trust this message will help you know more about Jesus and inspire you to be more like him.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Karina Hudson. My husband Tony and I have between us four children, Tyson, Jeremiah, Felicity and Nathaniel. And we've been coming to Hope Central now for nearly 5 years in October. And along with Karen this afternoon, I have the privilege and the honour to be able to share around the word with you this afternoon. But before we do that, let me just pray for us as we go around the word. Lord, I want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you, Lord, that where two or more are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. What a privilege it is to open your word, Lord. You're the book of all books. And I pray for Karen and myself as we lead our congregation around the word this afternoon that you would give each of us ears to hear. You'd give us eyes open with fresh revelation of what you're trying to say to us this afternoon, and that our words, we would just be the mouthpiece because you, Lord, are the one that's speaking in and through us. Holy Spirit, may you be glorified. May we know and sense your presence walking amongst us now as we share around the word this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, 2018 marks 38 years this year that I have known the Lord. And it does say in the word, doesn't it, not to boast in anything except for the cross of Christ. But I certainly can look back on 38 years of knowing the Lord and can certainly see how the Lord has been shaping my character, how he's been revealing aspects of his own character, and doing this specifically and in reference to our habit that we're looking at today, and that is the discipline of serving. And I'll attempt in the short time that I have with you this afternoon to give you a bit of a snapshot of what I've learned about myself, the way the Lord has shown me kingdom living, and has shown me elements of his character, and how I believe he is hopefully maturing me in that process, particularly as it pertains to the discipline of serving. Let us lay a bit of a foundation first of Scripture. This is from 1 Peter 4:10-11. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Obviously, in that very short scripture, we can see that each person, every person, has been given gifts and abilities because of the varied grace of God. Don't let anyone say to me that you do not have any gifts to contribute to the body of Christ, because that is clear, along with many other scriptures like it, that each of us and every one of us have been given gifts to minister to one another. But we do this making sure that it's through the grace of God and the strength that he supplies. We don't do this in our own strength. I stand up here today trembling in my stilettos in a way, because I don't want this to be in my own strength. I want it to be the strength that God gives me, and he would enable me and equip me for everything as he will you too in this journey of life. And to him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. This next verse, I think we could all know off by heart. It's self-explanatory. Philippians 2:3-4, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And the scriptures I'll use this afternoon will come from the New King James Version, which is my favourite. Now, as a young child, I remember wanting to be a prima ballerina. But when I got to the age of 12, I realised that I could not keep up with the dietary requirements to be a ballerina. And thankfully so. I was able to go into a different area of the arts. And one of my brothers at the time was learning classical piano. And I thought, yes, I think that's what I would rather do than being a ballerina. Certainly love the Australian Ballet and all types of classical ballet, but that wasn't the path that the Lord was leading me down. Not long after that, I realised that I actually enjoyed singing as well. And it wasn't long before singing became my principal instrument, I suppose, and piano my secondary one. So it was a natural consequence of that gifting and ability that I believe the Lord gave me. I was able to use that gift and those abilities for the service of His kingdom. And I remember very early on in my life, I used to do a lot of soloist work around different community events and in different churches of different denominations. And I remember one particular time, and my parents who were here will remember this very clearly too. I was probably about 12, and a lady came up to me after I'd sung a group of songs in this particular presentation or gathering, and she said, "Karina, please use your gift. I believe this is from the Lord. Please use your gift of singing to glorify Him. You may be tempted to go down the path of the secular line as you get older, but stay the course. Use your singing to glorify Him and to edify the body of believers." And I've never forgotten that word that I believe was from the Lord at a tender age of 12. And I'd like to hope and pray that that's what I have done with my singing and with my piano and worship corporately in the musical sense over my life. But there's always a downside with natural gifts and abilities, and I'll be quite vulnerable here in sharing this story. Obviously, as I grew, I was able to be on worship team singing, as you would have seen this afternoon with our beautiful team led by Rochelle, and I was very much needing a lesson in humility. I don't know, ladies in the congregation remember bringing their Bibles to church with a Bible bag? Do you remember those days? Well, it was quite a big Bible that I was carrying, and I was looking quite holy, I think, holding my Bible with my Bible bag. And as this stage is very similar, and I certainly won't do it, at the end of the service, I fell literally down at the stage. Now, I was 8 months pregnant with Felicity at the time, and thankfully nothing was damaged but my pride. But I really felt the Lord saying to me at that time that we need to not be serving so much for feeling significant, for feeling how good it makes us feel, but really for other reasons. But a lesson learned in this time was be clothed with humility, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Certainly in my sense, in my experience, pride came before a fall. Literally, I was mortified, but thankfully, I hope I've learned from that experience. Therefore, humble yourselves, says 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. I've learned that I'm not to hear the applause of men, but the applause of the one that I'm to serve. As much as encouragement and patting on the back from fellow believers is wonderful, at the end of the day, our encouragement and our hope should rest upon what the Lord thinks of us, regardless of what other people think of us. As I grew, I became a teacher and did other things in service to the community of believers through leadership and so on. But more importantly, I think, in the last few years, I have seen that when we serve because we can see recognised need, I think God is continually glorified and people are helped as a result of that. Now, when I have been in this stage in my life, I have seen that through the adverse circumstances, that God can use all of our circumstances to steer us towards our specific service, our specific service. Each one of us have a unique life. Not one of us can mirror anyone else's life or echo anyone else's experiences. And God uses the good, the bad, and the ugly to steer us towards specific service for others. If you have your Bibles, I'd love you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to read just verse 3 and 4 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort by which we ourselves are comforted by God. What a revelation that was to me years ago. God Himself has comforted me in the times when I needed Him the most. In my trials and tribulations, some were self-inflicted, some weren't. But God was saying, "Karina, the comfort I've given you, show that comfort to other people now. Show that element of my character to others that need the comfort of God." And for those of you who know, a few years ago, I founded a ministry called Blended Not Shaken Ministries. And the ministry is to meet specific needs in the Christian context for those who have suffered divorce and subsequently some are remarried, and for their children. And so the support groups were started for ladies who really needed to see the comfort of God in their own lives. I was a single mum at one stage, and I knew how it felt to need the comfort of God amongst many other elements to God's character. And it was up to me, I felt the Lord was saying, to speak to these ladies, the people that would come into my life. I think it's really important for us to see that we serve the Lord because we see the needs in the community. But then there's another depth to serving the Lord, and that is through obedient worship. Because for the many ladies that I have seen, have come through the support groups, the churches, the schools, the chaplains that have used the books that I've written, at the end of the day, I'm not always going to get the response that I would like, naturally speaking. I'm not always going to get that pat on the back or some monetary reward, because God is saying that He wants us to love others because we love Him. He wants us to serve others because we already love Him and we want to worship Him with our lives. And so I really believe that the Lord is teaching me in this time of my life, particularly the last 18 months, the power of the One. The power of the One. I remember driving down Monifori Hill Road going towards Coorong Bookshop. It was a February 2015, a Saturday morning. And I remember that the city group was going to start, the support group in the city, that morning. And I had absolutely no idea who was going to be there. I'd only used social media as my form of advertising, and so I could have had 10 ladies there or 20, or I could have had no one. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me clearly, "Karina, will you come into the city every month for one person? Will you come into the city and sacrifice that Saturday morning for one lady who needs it?" And at first I thought, "Oh Lord, really, just one?" And then I realised, no, I have to say yes. Yes, Lord, I will do it for that one lady. And you know what? There was one lady, just one. But that relationship that has grown over the last nearly 3 years with Lou has just been amazing. And I see an iron sharpening iron relationship that I prayed for, and I see her helping in the support groups. I see the wonderful prayer partner that she is, but I see a bigger thing, and that is the heart of God and the power of the One. Look at the different examples in Scripture about the power of the One. I'm sure some of them come to mind. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Bev spoke about the prodigal son, didn't she? And we've got the father standing every day looking out, waiting for his son to return, his son. What about the beautiful story of the lost sheep, the shepherd, the good shepherd who left the 99 in search for the one sheep that had wandered off? And maybe there are people in your world that one sheep has wandered off. Their little head has got caught somewhere in a fence and they're needing you to go and rescue them. They're needing you to come and be their shepherd. What about the parable of the coin, the lost coin? The widow who had 10 coins and lost the one, and she searched and swept her entire house clean until she had found that one coin, because she knew the value of that coin she had lost. And she told all her neighbours when she found it. What about the merchant who sold everything in search for the one pearl of great price? And we all know that for one sinner that repents in heaven, there's a party that goes on up there because of that sinner that repented. The power of the One. It's been such a lesson for me that I've learned, and I think a lesson for all of us today. It's the heart of God, the power of the One. I'm tempted to give up sometimes, definitely. When you leave something that's familiar and something that's stable, you do need to rely upon the Lord wholly and solely. And when God is calling us to do something, stepping out of our comfort zone, He's asking for full obedience. He's not asking for partial obedience, one foot here, one foot there, just to keep safe and secure. He's asking for our full obedience. But He encourages us in His word, as it says in Galatians 6, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially of those who are of the household of faith." One last thing I'd like to say before Karen comes and shares her portion of this afternoon. I believe that we can miss potential blessings that come from God's hand if we fail to act on the promptings from God. I'm sure all of us are sitting here right now, and I know I am too, standing here thinking of times when I have failed to act on prompting from the Holy Spirit to help someone else, to serve in a way that's based around my life experience, my gifts and abilities, what's gone before, and I've missed potential blessings that have come as a result of that. I can also think of times too when I have stepped out of my comfort zone, where I have tried to shake off fear and trepidation, or I've made sure that I've tried to make it not about me but about the other person. And the blessings that have come as a result of that, you can't measure them. As I said at the beginning, I was a singer, and I still am, not quite singing as much as I used to. But I remember, again, I was quite young when I started singing one of these songs, and I have Swedish heritage, and my parents put me on to Evie. I don't know if anyone remembers Evie. 4'11" she was, little blonde lady. Obviously, her songs were translated into English, otherwise I wouldn't have been able to sing them. But one of the songs that I sang, and I won't sing it, but I certainly will give you the words, is this, and it was called All the Glory. And back when I sang it when I was 12 or 14, I had absolutely no idea, I don't think, what would happen 30 years later and where the Lord would take me in my life. But the song now has so much more significance, I think, than I sang it as a wee girl. While walking on this earth, we are nothing in ourselves. Yet God's chosen to use us with his mighty hand. Though the master plan requires human instruments, that's us, we must never glorify ourselves. The second verse, are we ready to obey him when he urges us to go? Are we willing to be nothing but servants of the cross? In the times of trial and hardship, or when shining from the top, are we willing to lay down our lives for him? And the chorus is a simple one. All the glory must be to the Lord. Only he is worthy of all our praise. No one on earth should give glory to themselves, for all the glory must be to the Lord. Karen's going to come and share about how service to the Lord through serving others has affected her Christian walk. And I thank you for listening to my little story, and pray that it's been a blessing to you.
All right, so we're talking about the discipline of serving and how it changes us to become more like Jesus. And as Karina said, what a better place to start than with Jesus as our perfect example. So let me see if I can get this happening. Woohoo! All right. You will see a few scriptures in common, and I think that's a really positive thing, you know, that God's speaking to us. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus came to serve. And as Karina has alluded in her talk, that there's kind of three main phases that we go through in serving. And as I was reflecting on those phases, it occurred to me that they can be quite similar to some phases that you go through in parenthood. And if you haven't been a parent, I'm sure you've seen some of these phases in people's lives. So I'm just going to parallel those as we talk about that today. So the first phase is kind of, you know, that, you know, you're planning to become pregnant or into newborn. But gosh, I'm going to be hopeless at this. All right. So this is a picture of our daughter when she's 1 day old. Isn't she tiny? So I think, you know, in this first phase, it can be a bit all about us. It can be like, oh, we're going to have a baby and we're going to start a family or extend a family. Oh, you're going to be a great dad. Oh, you're going to be such a great mum. And it can be a bit all about us, but it's, you know, it's exciting and it's new. And I think the same thing when we're serving. We can be like, oh, I've got some great ideas of how we can make this area come alive, and I've got something really great to give, and I really just can't wait to be part of that team. And it's new and exciting, and that's okay, because this, you know, the process of service has to start so that it can start to change us. And so it's a new exciting phase until, when you've got something that little, reality hits. And there's the crying, and then there's the broken sleep, all the no sleep, and there's the nappies, and then there's the vomit. And all of a sudden you can think, this is such hard work. It's all a bit one way. And I remember a family member saying to me, oh, Karen, is it worth it? And I remember saying to this family member, wait, there's something coming that actually will make it seem all worth it. And she was like, mm-hmm. And I said, the first smile. And she was looking at me like, are you sure? I'm like, take it from me. There's something about when your baby smiles at you that it just, all that hard work seems worth it. And you've got to ask yourself, why is that? Why is that? And you know, I think it's because for the first time, all that giving and serving feels connected to a person. For the first time, they're not just this screaming, crying, pooing machine. It's a little person, and it's very cool. And I think the same thing in serving, when that, it just all of a sudden feels like, oh, it's hard work. As Pastor Kevin likes to say, good ideas soon degenerate into hard work. I think of the same thing. It might be in Kids Inc. That first time that you see the light bulb moment in a child's life and you think, oh, I taught them something about Jesus today. That was fantastic. It could be when you're on the door and a visitor's so glad for the warm welcome you've given them. When it's connected to a person, all of a sudden it seems hard work. It seems worth it. You know, and this phase, I think, in parenthood, it's a lot about dying to self. You realise just how selfish your world has been, how much of it has revolved around you. And I think that, you know, as we said, serving changes us. And I think that this phase perhaps could be summed up in this scripture, Galatians 6:9, as you've heard. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So phase one can be hard yakka, but don't worry, don't give up. It'll be worth it. All right, phase two. I'm the mum. I think in this phase you settle a bit more into the role. You kind of go with the ups and downs, although you're still aware that it's a bit of an inconvenience in our life, and it's kind of like, I'm the mum. You look behind you, there's no one else lining up to do that job. So you think, oh, well, guess I better get on with it and do it. No one's getting up to that screaming baby in the middle of the night. And I remember, you know, being asked to be a youth leader, and kind of like when you're a parent, you think, oh, I better do it, it's the right thing to do. I remember being asked to be a youth leader, and our youth pastor had said, oh, we need a bit more maturity and a bit more wisdom in to balance out our youth team, and he'd approached a whole group of us. And, you know, it's not like we were like, oh, can't wait to give up my Friday nights of doing whatever I want to do to go and you know, give up my social life and just go. But I said yes because I knew it was the right thing to do, right? So I have a bit of a picture here of some of those youth days, and there's me on the left. You might see someone else you know in there. So the black and white, right, is a dead giveaway of the type of serving that I was doing in youth even before I was a youth leader. The photo on the other side, right, is Rad. Now, Rad wasn't a youth leader, but his role that he got to play in youth is, I'd say, hey, Rad, do you want to come to our youth formal again and get the party started with some dancing? I think I know who got the better deal. So, yeah. So, you know, sometimes in this phase, we're kind of going through the bit of a checklist in our head, bit of a job description. We're trying to tick it off and we're right, yep, okay, I'm going to do that. And we're trying to do the right thing, do a good job. As you know, a parent, perhaps we're thinking, oh, these are the things that a good parent's got to do and I'm going to do those things. But, you know, this phase is changing us. We accept the inconvenience, even if it's reluctantly. And I think this phase becomes about obedience. Becomes about obedience to the word. It might be a scripture such as this one, which you've heard. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so it goes on. So we might be aware, God's given me a gift and I'm supposed to use it to serve others. I'm going to be obedient to that. And it's a good thing to be obedient to the word of God. And I think, you know, in parenting, this phase perhaps is also all about the word. And that is the word mum. Again, when your kid says that word of their own accord for the first time, it makes some of that inconvenience just pale. And it's so special. And I think the same thing. When we know we're being obedient to God and we are serving because it's the right thing to do and out of obedience to his word, that inconvenience can pale. So I think this phase is summed up perhaps by Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. All right, phase number three. Here's looking at you, kid. Here's knowing you, kid. I think in this phase, we're not really checking off a mental checklist. We've actually become that role. We're actually serving out of who we are. And this is my two lovely kids. And, you know, in my mind now, I'm not checking off how to be a good mum. I'm not thinking, right, make fresh Play-Doh once a fortnight. Take them to kindy gym, serve them good food, make sure they have a nap. I'm not consciously thinking of all the things I need to do to be a good mum that I have done in the past. I'm actually just serving now out of relationship. So I know my guys. I know what they like. I know what they don't like. I know how to encourage each of them. I know how to discipline each of them most of the time. I know them and I'm in this role out of relationship. I'm actually serving and out of them knowing me and I'm knowing them. That's become a part of who I am. And it's much less external, looking for that external reward. You know, it's much more long-term, deferred reward, a long-term of one day I'll hear good and faithful servant. Or as a parent, one day I'll just know that I've raised good kids. And it's less of that right now reward. And this service that's based in relationship is where we want to get to, because this is where we see Jesus serving out of. Jesus served out of relationship with the Father. John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. John 10:32. I have shown you many good works from my Father. And John 8:29. The one who sent me is with me. I always do what pleases him and he will never leave me. Can you see the relationship tied up there that Jesus is serving out of relationship? He's doing what he sees the Father doing. And what is it? What is it that he sees the Father doing? Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Jesus did good That's what he saw the Father doing, and that's what he did. He did good. And what does doing good mean? I've got a quote here from Charles Finney, 1851, talking about this scripture. Excuse me while I have a drink. And this is what Charles Finney said. What is implied in Jesus going about doing good? It is implied that this was his business, the thing he had above all things else at heart. For this end, he came into the world. He came to do good and not evil, to bless and not to curse, to fill the world with peace, love and happiness, so far as lay within the range of his influence. The good of man was the great object which he sought. We're meant to do good. We're meant to do good like Jesus did and like the Father does. And what is good? I think it's noticing the people's lives around you and seeking to do kind things for them, to show them goodness, to show them love, to do that in your workplace, to do that in your school, to do that in your community, your neighbourhood, in your mother's group, your sporting group, your social club, wherever you are, to do good. I've got this lovely quote which says, relationship is the process of investing in another person by doing things for that person's own good without consideration of self-reward. This phase is about relationship. When I was in year 12, I had a favourite teacher. She was vivacious and lively and just passionate about her subject. And she'd had a period of leave and she'd returned to school. And she just wasn't herself. She was just so flat and quiet and just seemed sad. And it troubled me to see her like this. And one day this thought entered my mind that I was going to gather together a bunch of flowers for her and just write a little card and see if I couldn't convince her that we were glad that she was back. Perhaps that she wasn't. So I recruited my mum, which I laugh, sorry, because my mum then, the bunch of flowers was enormous and it was, honestly, it was huge and it had stuff from all over the place. So then I'm quite a shy kid, so I'm thinking, this massive bunch of flowers, I know what I'll do. I'll try and recruit the front office ladies, God bless front office ladies, to deliver these flowers anonymously. And I think just in their pure shock at the size of this bunch of flowers, they agreed. And you know, I didn't know what was going on in that lady's life. I didn't know, but God knew, and he prompted me just to do a simple act of kindness in her life. And because of that act, 6 months later, a little baby boy was born. And I didn't know what the decision that she was facing in that time. I didn't know the trouble that was brewing in her life, but God did. And not only was that teacher impacted, but my year 12 mentor shared the same faculty office with her, and he knew about my faith, and I discussed with him my recent mission trip to Papua New Guinea, and he just could not believe that I'd picked that there was something going on in this lady's life, but he knew it had something to do with my faith. So I want to encourage you guys who are at school. It's never too early to do good. You can make a difference no matter where you are in life. So, this phase summed up. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And it's just coming back to serving and doing those things out of that relationship with Jesus. Be people focused in your life. Don't waste your life just on yourself and gathering things. Real purpose in life comes from serving and following the voice of the Father. After Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he said, "You will be blessed if you do these things." That's where real life is at. That's where purpose comes from. So ask yourself, what can I do to bring life, hope, kindness to those around me? Jesus did good wherever he went, and we should be looking to do good wherever we go, to reflect the Father with our whole life, to serve others and not ourselves. And just as Rod comes to just play the keys, I've got some questions for us to ask ourselves. What phase of serving are you in? Do you need to commit to starting to serve? To continuing? Have you stood still in your serving? And what has stopped you serving? What has stopped you, caused you to stand still? Have you become discouraged, by your lack of reward? Then connect your serving with a person. Have you been put off by the inconvenience? Obedience has its own rewards. Or, as mentioned, Bev with the prodigal son, has serving come for you a religious thing, a legalistic thing, and not that relationship? Where are you at with your serving? I want us just to take a few moments now to do two things. To ask ourselves, where am I at with my serving? Is there something standing in the way of me progressing to that third phase of serving out of love for Jesus and relationship with the Father? That's the first thing. The second thing, in a moment, I'd love to pray for us to make a fresh commitment to asking God, what's the good you want me to do today, tomorrow, next week? And then to obey what he says. So like I said, in a moment I'm going to pray along those lines, and I'd love you to join in that commitment prayer. Right now, I just love us to take a moment to listen for the Father's voice about our serving and about good. It could be a person's name might come to mind, a situation, or it might be something completely different. Let's take a moment to ask about our serving and to listen to the God's voice.
Thanks for listening to today's message. Visit our website, hopecentral.org.au, for any further information or listen to any other podcasts.